good morning again. Turn to Hebrews chapter turn to Psalm 110. Psalm 110. Now, what we read in the introduction of the service from Matthew 22:45 has to do with this verse. And we'll spend a little time here in the Psalm before we turn to Hebrews. 110, verse 1, is written, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." Now he said that the Father spoke those words, that is, spoke those words to his Son and said, "Sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." Then in verse 4, still speaking to his Son, the Father says, "The Lord hath sworn and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now notice that this is in the Psalms, in the Old Testament. And as you know, the Bible is broken down into two testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is the foundation for the New Testament, and the New Testament is the completion and end of the Old Testament. So the two work together. We wouldn't know who Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, any of those people were, Melchizedek, or anybody, who they were, if it weren't for the instruction that we have in the Old Testament. So he said, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now turn to Genesis chapter 18. No, chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14, verse 18. Now here is the Old Testament record of Melchizedek. "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was a priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." Now, the Lord swore to his Son, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now, he's after the order of Melchizedek and not of the order of Melchizedek. Right. But he's after the order of Melchizedek. There's things similar between the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the priesthood of Melchizedek. Those begin with the person of the priest. This Melchizedek is without father or mother, without beginning of days or end of life. He has no recorded genealogy. He has no predecessor, nor any successor, in order that he may be a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is with no human father, and who is with no spiritual mother. No father, no mother, without beginning of days. Melchizedek has no record of his birth or of his death. Christ Jesus is without birth. He is the eternal Son. He is the creator of the heavens and earth, and he is today seated at the right hand of the Father. He is in his eternal priesthood. Now, Melchizedek was brought in as a type or a shadow or a picture or a prefigure of the Lord Jesus Christ in his exalted position. Now look at Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, that is, against God and against Christ, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." Now here is God speaking to God the Son and saying, "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." Now turn to Hebrews chapter 5. And let's begin reading at verse 1. For every high priest... Now, you probably realize this is going to be on priesthood. The priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. For he was a priest, and he is a priest. For every high priest is taken from among men, or taken from among men, is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he might offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Now, a priest is somebody who interposes between God and his people. He bridges the gap. He fills up the gulf. Our Lord said, "No man," he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." God will not speak to nor be spoken to by anybody save the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot have any direct intercourse with God because of our nature, and his nature makes it impossible. Yeah. We're sinners. He's holy. Mm-hmm. We can't have any direct communication with him. We have to go through a mediator, and that mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So he says, for every high priest is taken from among men. If he's going to be a priest for men, he has to be a man. In order that he can be a faithful high priest, is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmities. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. Now this is talking about the Levitical priesthood, who were priests in the Old Testament of the family of Levi, who was one of Jacob's 12 sons. Now Aaron was Levi's son, and he became the high priest of Israel, and his sons were eligible to be high priests. The rest were Levites. They took care of the buildings and all of the mundane things that were to be done around the temple, but the sons of Aaron were the priests. They entered into the holy place, and once a year into the Holy of Holies. And no man taketh this honor to himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Now this statement here is what is called elliptical. And you have to supply the ellipsis in it by reading it thus. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him did. God did. God said unto him, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So that here in Hebrews chapter 5, the saying in Psalm 2, Thou art my son, this day is connected with the saying in Psalm 110, The Lord hath sworn and will not repent, Thou art a priest forever. After the order of Melchizedek, this is one of the proofs now of the qualification of the Lord Jesus Christ to the office of great high priest of the everlasting covenant of grace. That is, that he is directly called of God, and that God hath sworn to his priesthood by an oath. The Lord swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Now, God demands absolute perfection of his people.
Yes,
now, don't let anybody fool you. He demands absolute perfection in thought, word, and deed, from the cradle to the grave. If you've had one bad thought in your life, you've sinned against the law of God, and God's law is one law, therefore you broke the whole law. You're a lawbreaker. Just like me. Just like all of Adam's children, we're all sinners. But God does not cancel what he requires, that perfection. Look at Matthew 5:48. Matthew 5:48. Now this is our Lord speaking here, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to me and he says to you, Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Well, you say there's nobody can do that. That's right, because we're all sinners. We can't do it. That's the reason we need a priest. Somebody to stand between us who are lawbreakers and God, who gave that holy law and interposed between us to furnish us with that perfection that God requires.
Right.
Now, this generation, I'm afraid, has got away from the idea of a priest. They don't, you know, because of the mockery of that guy over in Rome with a funny fish hat, It's ridiculous what he does, but still these people have thought, well, that's a hoax. Well, it's not a hoax that we need a great high priest. We need somebody to stand in our place and face God. Now, we surely do. And there's one and only one who's capable of doing that, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one. He's the Savior. We're not Saviors. We're not saving ourselves. Our Lord Jesus Christ does the whole complete job absolutely without any of our help.
Amen.
Not by feelings, by faith. What you know in your heart concerning your sinfulness, God's holiness, the Lord Jesus Christ's ability to fill up that wherein you lack and present you faultless before the throne of God, relying on yourself for absolutely zero. Nothing. but depending on him for everything. Anything other than that is a mixture of grace and works, and what it is really is works. Works religion. If somebody comes up and tells you all the things you have to do to be saved, you can peg him and say, you're a false preacher. Now, God requires perfection, and we can't produce it. So we're going to have to go outside of ourselves to find perfection. Look at Psalm 143, verse 2. Let's confirm that. Psalm 143, verse 2. And I'll read verses 1 and 2. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear unto my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. If God enters directly into judgment with any one of us, it's our doom. Our doom is sealed. If we have not a great high priest to answer for us, it's all over. We might as well prepare to meet our God. Look at Romans chapter 3. Verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now God set before us his spotless, holy, and good law, and said, if you obey this, it's life. But we can't obey it. We have a fallen and ruined nature. Our thoughts of sin are sin, and therefore our thoughts condemn us, our words condemn us, our actions condemn us, our attitudes and desires condemn us. We are condemned before God outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Now, Go back to Hebrews. Chapter 5 again. Now, look at verse 6. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Then in 5:10 he says, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Art, this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 6, verse 1, he says, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. We want to go on to perfection. And then look in chapter 7, verse 11. He says, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood. Now he's saying, if it were, if perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, which obviously it is not. And the reason it's so obvious that it is not is that God has called another priest after the order of Melchizedek, who is not after the order of Aaron, who was the Old Testament priesthood. So it's obvious from the Old Testament that it's not the final covenant. As a matter of fact, the law was added to something else, which is the everlasting covenant of grace, because sin was abounding, or because that's in Galatians chapter 3, and I can't remember the verse right now, but it says the law entered that sin might abound, Romans 5:20, and in Galatians it says the law was added because of transgressions until the seed should come to whom the promises were made. I believe the way that verse goes. Anyway, the law was added on to the everlasting covenant of grace, but it was added on to be taken away. Because under the law, to be a priest under the law, you had to be of the house of Levi. But there is another priesthood coming, which is after the order of Melchizedek, which proves that the law is to be done away, not of works. The law is of works. It's not of works, by grace. Now, that's important. Now, maybe I ought to work that over a little bit more. If perfection were by the law, well, by the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the deed of sin. So that says that the law can't do the job. Romans 8 says, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. And in verse, look at Romans chapter Romans chapter 8. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death, for what the law could not do. What could the law not do? The law couldn't bring life to God's people. It could not perfect the children of God. So it's evident from that there's going to be another covenant. All right, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 11, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? That's 7:11. Right in the middle of the Aaronical priesthood, the Bible calls for another priest who's not of that order.
Yeah.
For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. Now, the efficacy of that covenant was based on that priesthood. Now, it's important that we understand that. It takes a perfect sacrifice to put away sin. Well, under the law, they didn't have a perfect sacrifice. What they had was the blood of bulls and goats. And that law then could never put away sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ, his death, his sufferings, did put away sin.
Amen.
So what the law did not have, or what that covenant could not do, because it's priesthood was insufficient, its sacrifices were insufficient, everything about it was insufficient, the New Testament does by the blood of the Son of God.
Amen.
Now, his blood does put away sin.
Amen.
So that Old Testament was ineffective. It couldn't justify anybody. It couldn't present anybody perfect and sinless before God. But the new covenant, the New Testament, which is the everlasting covenant of grace, does bring in everyone who is interested in that covenant, or who is named in that covenant, and whose name has been written in the Lamb Book of Life from before the foundation of the world. It brings in the, brings them in absolutely perfect before God.
Amen.
Now, look at Colossians chapter 1. And verse 19. Now, speaking about Christ here, he said, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Well, who's that fullness for? It's for his people. He has no emptiness. It is for us who are absolutely empty. "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you," now look at this, "holy." How holy? Well, holy is holy. There's no degree in holiness. "To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Now look at Revelation chapter 14. Verse 15. "And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sharp sickle." I'm sorry, I need to be in verse 5. In the chapter 14, verse 4 and 5. And he said, "These are these which are not defiled with women." Now what that means is, in the scriptures, false religion is identified as harlots. And these are they who were not identified with false religion. They took no part in false religion. They were not idolaters. They worshipped the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth. "These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. And their virginity is in that they were never associated with false religion. Or in God's eyes, they were not. These are they which follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and of the Lamb, and in their mouth was found no guile. They are without fault before the throne of God." Now, they are without fault, not in themselves, because in themselves they're sinners, but in Christ Jesus. Well, now how do you get to be in Christ? Well, it happened before the world was. It happened before the foundation of the world. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now, whoever that us is, is blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In other words, they are without fault before the throne of God. They are unblameable, unrebukable. They are holy in His holiness. They are perfect before the throne of God because they're in Christ Jesus. They're in Him as members in a body. My hand here is a member of my body. It's in me. All right, look here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him. In Him. Members of His body. Branches in a vine. Bricks in a house. In Him. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. In ourselves? No. In what we are in nature? No. In what we can achieve? No. In Christ. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Not your will, not my will, not mom and dad's will, according to His will. Now let's go back to Hebrews chapter 7 again. If perfection were by the Levitical priesthood. Now, another way you could say that is, if perfection is what you do, because the law was of works. Let me read you that. Let me just turn to it and I'll come right back. Galatians 3:12 says, "The law is not of works, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." In other words, the law requires that you've got to do what God requires. Well, the law is not of faith. Faith depends on Lord Jesus Christ, who has done everything. He said, "It is finished." All right, back to Hebrews. He says, if perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, and we know that it's not. And then he went on to say that the priesthood being changed, there is made also a necessity of a change in the law. And then in verse 19 he says, "For verily there is a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness of it." Well, the law is holy, just, and good in itself, and is perfect in its work of showing sinners their sinfulness. But as far as bringing life to the children of God, it can't do it. Now, look down at chapter 8, verse 7. He said, for finding fault with them, he saith, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Now, that is Israel. That is Israel. That is the Israel of God. And it is looking at the seed of Jacob. In the Lord shall all the seed of Jacob be justified and shall glory. And he's talking about the Israel of God in Galatians 6:16. So the point is that the law couldn't make anything perfect. Now look back at chapter 7, verse verse 19 again, the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. Now the better hope is the hope we have in Christ. And it's a better hope because it's an assured hope, because it brings perfection. Those that are under the law got a bad hope. They have no hope. Because they can't fulfill the law. And those that are of works religion, who think they have to do something to measure up that isn't already done, they got a bad hope. Only those who are looking to the Lord Jesus Christ for all of their salvation have a good hope. Look at chapter 7, verse 26. For such an high priest became us. In other words, this high priest, who's after the order of Melchizedek, the Lord Jesus Christ, became us. He's the priest we need. That's what that means. Because he supplies everything wherein we are deficient. He interposes himself, his blood, between us and the judgment of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him, that is of God the Father, are ye in Christ Jesus. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Who of God is made unto us wisdom. It is by the Lord Jesus Christ that we know the Father. And righteousness. He's all our righteousness. We have none of our own. We can't produce any. He is our sanctification. He is our holiness. Before God, we are holy in his holiness. And he is our redemption. He has redeemed us. Now, so everyone who has an interest in this priest, everyone who was chosen in him before the foundation of the world, is going to be brought to glory. All the forces of hell can't hinder that. It can give some problems to those who are subjects of that covenant on the way, but they can't stop it. So it would be of interest to any sinner to know whether or not we have an interest in that covenant. How do you know? It's not because your hair is a certain color or because you got a election tattooed in your forehead. But the mark is faith. If we find that we can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and when the terror of the judgment and of the law and of eternal punishment comes up before us, if the only place that we can find hope and rest from thoughts of that is in Christ Jesus, depending on what he said, it is finished. I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. And what was that work? It was to save his people from their sins. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Look at John 17:4. And we'll read verses 1 through 4. John 17:4. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Now our Lord Jesus Christ, being God the Son, was made flesh for the suffering of death in our place.
Yeah.
Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And he gave them to him before the foundation of the world. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now it was so sure that it would be finished and completed and accepted. Like almost throughout the Bible, things that are dependent upon God to be done are spoken of as though they have been done. Romans 8:28, whom he justified, he also glorified. It's as good as done. All of the children of the covenant are going to be brought to glory in a glorified body. They're going to be glorified. Now look at Acts or John 19:30. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, this is while he's hanging on the cross, just before his death. He said, it is finished. I have saved all the Father gave me to save. And they will infallibly be brought to glory. If the weakest one of them misses the mark, God's holiness is spoiled, because he swear by his holiness. He said, I have sworn by my holiness, thy seed shall endure forever. God put his holiness at stake, not us, his. And this is not our program, it's not our plan, it's not we that are performing this. This is God's work. His bringing his people to glory. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, he went into the grave, and then he broke the power of Satan and of hell and of the grave and of every spiritual enemy that we have when he came forth out of that tomb. He destroyed all of our enemies. And he's seated at the right hand with all his members in him, all of his seed in him. He represents each of us in his person at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now notice how exalted a place he has. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of the Majesty in heavens. He's seated at the right hand of God, and everything in this earth and every planet at the farthest reaches of the universe is under his direct control. He's not a wannabe priest. He's not a wannabe Savior. He is the Savior. And I tell you, when believers get in trouble, when they get to looking at themselves and see what a miserable failure they are, I just couldn't be so for me. Well, guess who you're looking at? You're looking at a failure. Don't look there. Don't go to the graveyard looking for life. Go to the source of life. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is our life, who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. You know, he's the Savior. People get in their mind that they ought to be the Savior. They ought to be able to save themselves. And no wonder they do with all the free will preaching they is around. It's up to you. You make the decision. You make the choice. You. Well, it's him.
Amen.
He's finished the work. And he gets all the glory.
Yeah.
Amen.